G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, October 13. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again is Joel Marshall. Well, Joel, this is just about the biggest weekend of racing that we've had in a long time, is it not?
I would think so. You'd only need to chuck Winks into the mix, I guess, and you'd just about have it, wouldn't you? Great day in Sydney with the Everest and a couple of other excellent support programs, and Caulfield is a cracker. 10 black types, 4 group ones. The Caulfield Stakes is
amazing.
A ripping race. So really looking forward to that, and a couple of big sized fields thrown in there to get a bit of value. So, and I think there might be 10 internationals having their first start in the country, something like that. Big number anyway at Caulfield on Saturday. So certainly made difficult trying to bring all the form lines together.
Certainly has, but we'll do our very best. I guess the only potential fly in the ointment is the Sydney weather, and I guess the weather further afield in Queensland. Just amazing, in the middle of a drought, and it can still be pouring in Sydney as soon as a big race day comes along.
Exactly right, yeah. Plenty of rain about. I think they're looking at a heavy. Brisbane too. Their forecast's looking very dire. I think it's already soft, heavy, and plenty of rain to come the next couple of days. So yeah, there's a fair bit of rain around. Just got to hit the right areas, hopefully.
All righty. Well, we will get to the Everest program shortly. We will start at Caulfield. As you mentioned, 10 black type races, 4 group ones, quality right through the day, and one of the most intriguing runnings of the Ladbrokes, aka Caulfield Stakes, that you can imagine. Certainly a contrast to the race 2 years ago when there were only 3 horses in it. There are 12, and you can make a case for most of them. But we'll start with race 1, English Debutante Stakes. 2-year-olds, as we talk to you, there's 12 left in it. This is over 1,000 metres, listed level. Set weights, where has the dart struck here, John?
I've looked at the Flemington jump outs mainly and gone 6-4-2-7. Champagne Boom has had a public trial and 2 jump outs, so we've seen it 3 times, and she's got a bit of talent, I think. Blinkers on too, which is interesting. Craig Williams has been aboard in 2 jump outs. 4 Wedge Tail, I thought, jumped out pretty well down the straight, and that was the strong jump out that saw the Quinella of last week's Maribyrnong trial come out of. So that form line is a strong. Lanagera also competed in that jump out, and 7 Fane, I thought, hit the line okay in her Cranbourne trial.
Just to show how easy it is to pick this race, I've got 4 completely different horses. 11 Rusky, 13 Utzon, 10 Mockery, and 5 Biscara. Race 2 at Caulfield on Saturday, the Big Screen Company Weekend Hustler Stakes, 1400 metre listed event. And first of the internationals we have not seen steps out, and that's the Godolphin's Comacas, trained by Charlie Appleby.
And we know we've got to respect the Charlie Appleby yard when we see them step out. I've gone 10 Fierce Impact, also in Sydney. I assume they'll come here because they've got the option of the Toorak if there's a scratching, and firmer ground probably the key too. So I'm with him. I think he's a nice horse. Big step up in class. I think $6 is short enough. You'll probably get better. 8 Sir Coney. In for second was good first up, riding a fast speed. 1 Comacas and 5 Violate. He's just very in and out, isn't he? I thought the gelding operation might have fixed that, but he was poor second up off a good fresh win. Maybe he can bounce back.
Very similar numbers for me. 10 Fierce Impact to beat 8 Sir Coney. Got the second Godolphin runner in there, the locally based one, number 2 Duca Valentinois, and for fourth, number 1 Comacas. 3, race 3. Caulfield on Saturday. Thoroughbred Club Stakes, 3-year-old fillies, 1200, group 3, set weights and penalties.
1 Sunlight for me, of course. We haven't seen her for a while. She had that bit of a setback when she went to Sydney. Been back in Melbourne for a couple of weeks now. She trialled really well at Cranbourne on Monday. She looks ready to go. Hard to beat from 9. Into the Abyss, who was competitive in some good 2-year-old races through the Sydney autumn. She's trialled up okay for this. 4 Assertive Play was excellent. Unlucky first up at the Valley. Pulled up with issues next time. She's probably over the odds at double figures. And 3 Merrill coming off a good win at the Valley Inn for 4th.
Gone for the lightly race, number 12, Bleu Roche. Been running some impressive sectionals in 2 starts so far from the established quantity, number 1, Sunlight. Back out to 1,200. Only defeat, I must admit, at that journey was placing in the Golden Slipper. So not very hard to knock Sunlight. Number three, Merrill for third, and six, Hummer Hummer for fourth. Race four, Cape Grim Beef Stakes, one of the best named races in the country. This is for the mares over 1,200 at Group 3 level.
We've gone with number 17, Dawn Dawn here. Can sort of ignore Y Barriers to some extent over these sprint trips at Caulfield. I think she's a talented mare. She was unlucky when third at Sandown, first up last prep behind Island Days. The runner-up was Grey Shadow. Beat many of these at Caulfield a fortnight ago. She went on to have a good campaign in Sydney, did Dawn Dawn. Beat Easy Eddie, who's got form around tactical advantage. Liked her recent trial. So happy to back her each way from nine split lit, also in Adelaide, or I'd be more confident with her. Seven in good time. I expect much better run. She just was on her wrong leg from the outside gate. First up, drawn better, can improve. And three, Winter Bride was good winning the How Now, and that looks a deserved favourite.
And I am with that favourite, number three, Winter Bride, to beat another visitor in 11, Fragonard. 19, Patrill for Archie Alexander, who, Joel, you have talked to in this week's winning post.
Yeah, I didn't mention her in my story because she's emergency, and she's also in an Adelaide where she's drawn wide, but Archie gave me a good push for her. Not afraid to step her straight up to black type. So, yeah, definitely include her if she gets a run.
Okay, well, drawn wide here as well, but as you mentioned, not so much a problem at the 1,200. Does need two more stretchings to get a run. And for fourth, number two, Cool Passion for Tony McAvoy. 3:11.19.2, race five at Caulfield on Saturday. Kino Scalacci Stakes, and we now really start to get into the top shelf. This is an intriguing race, Joel, and we got three Aidan O'Brien runners in an 1,100 metre sprint at Caulfield. So it really throws a bit of a spanner in the works as far as lining up the form goes. What did you do about this?
Yeah, it does, and all three of them are sort of, you can, some of their form lines are intertwining. They've chased home Merchant Navy, they've run against each other a few times. I included the 10, was the only one that I included in my numbers, but yeah, obviously watch betting. I've gone with 12, Savannah Amor. Only beat two home in the Moya, but didn't have a lot of room. 1,000 metres is always going to be a touch short for her. Thought she did enough. Got a good record at Caulfield. Two in for second, Voodoo Lad. We know what we're going to get from him. Just a very genuine run, and he'll go close. 13 in for third, Snitty Kitty was wide in the Moya, stuck on well. And as mentioned, number 10, Fleet Review. I've thrown him in for fourth.
A few of these races, I found it hard to split my first and second tip, although I did actually end up making Voodoo Lad my best of the day, number two. But the one I would like to couple in Quinellas and Rove in trifectas is number 13, Snitty Kitty. For third, number three, Ball of Muscle. And the one I put in from Aidan O'Brien for fourth was number nine, Spirit of Valor. Race six is the first of the group ones. It is the Schweppes 1,000 Guineas, 1,600 for three-year-old fillies, set weights half a million.
Yeah, I thought this was the more open of the Guineas races. Obviously, you know, the betting suggests that, but even, you know, just six or seven horses I could have squeezed into my four, but I've ended up going with number two, Fiesta. Sort of been with her through her Sydney campaign. She hasn't really let me down. She continues to race well. Did get a lovely ride and every possible chance to run out the mile in the flight, and she got nabbed on the line by Ahud. I just see her lobbing in the right sort of spot, and you know what you're going to get. She's going to be in the firing line for a long way, and if she can run out the mile, she'll be hard to beat. So I'm happy to back her each way. Certainly having something on number 12, Tahitian Dancer, is a bit of a roughie. She missed last week's manifold from a wide gate. She's come up with a bit better draw on Saturday. One Eldorado Dreaming, I think there's just huge upside with her. First up run at Caulfield, hit the line strongly. She'll be fitter, she'll be wiser for that experience. She's already a Group 1 winner. And I've included Archie Alexander's runner number 15, Mirette. She looks very smart. She only won a Benalla Maiden, but she did it with ease, ran the time. The runner-up's bolted in since. She's very smart. She's just got that tricky gait. Smart Melody definitely goes in the quaddie, obviously.
Yeah, well, I'm just trusting Smart Melody. Can't tip against her. 1,600, obviously, a query, but perfectly drawn, or well drawn in, anyway. Smart Melody, number five, to beat four, Thrillster, two, Fiesta, and I, two, Joel. Swayed by your interview with Archie, have chucked in number 15, Mirette, for fourth, 5, 4, 2, 15. Second of the group ones is race, and first leg of the quaddie is race seven, Aquis Toorak Handicap, 1,600 metre handicap, a group one. We've got Charlie Appleby's got one here, who obviously we've already seen in the Rupert Clark winner, Jungle Cat. And old Hartnell comes down with 59 after winning the Epsom with 58.
Yeah, look, I'm sort of banking on that Epsom form. I've left Hartnell out of my four, but he'd be my next one in, and he'll go in my quaddy. And I was tossing up between Shillelagh and Murakib, and I've just decided with the value. Shillelagh, $5.50. I just don't think there's any value about that, even though she's a bit of a favourite of mine, and she's well-weighted, she'll run well. I've just sided with Murakib. He had every chance in the Epsom, it must be said, from a good gate with the lightweight. Corey Parrish gave him every possible, but he ran well, only a length and a half beaten. And as I said, I'm just banking on an Epsom form. He's drawn barrier one, so he's just going to poke along with every chance, and if he's good enough, he'll figure. Shillelagh in for second. Her Epsom run was excellent. I've thrown in number 12, Cliff's Edge, for third. Just fits the bill of this horse, you know, a two-rack sort of horse, not necessarily an A-grader, but hitting form at the right time, was strong off a good speed last start and down in the weights. And I've thrown in number 10 for fourth, Noir, who was a good winner last start, beating home Youngstar, and we know that's good form. As I said, I won't be risking Hartnell. I risked him in the Epsom and it cost me.
I am with Noir on top, number 10, with that Youngstar form to beat 5, Land of Plenty, drawn very wide, but eye-catching run last time. 11, Siege of Quebec for third, and for fourth, I've got one at any old odds, number 15, Radipole. But yeah, look, there's 18 to face the starter, and you know, even Fierce Impact, you wouldn't rule out if you got a run. So you'd really make a case for most of them, as indicated by the fact that I've left out my good Tasmanian friend, Hell of a Street. 10, 5, 11, 15 for me. Race 8 is, well, it's not the big one, but it's big enough, and it's a great race, as we mentioned before. The Ladbroke Stakes, a.k.a. Caulfield Stakes, 2,000 metre weight for age. Group 1, $1 million, and what an intriguing event, Joel.
Yeah, really, really exciting. Look, I think there's three horses that can't win, and having said that, one of them will probably get up, but Harlem, Invictus Prince and Sedanza would shock me if they won, but the other nine just wouldn't surprise me at all. I've ended up settling on number 12, Unforgotten. Really good mare, excellent in the Epsom. She was just got a bit too far back and just didn't quite pick up straight away when Kieran McAvoy asked her to. Just suggested she was crying out for further, which she gets on Saturday. I've put her on top of 2, Humidor, and 3, Toes and Basil. Thought they could probably turn the tables on Holmesman from their Underwood runs. Toes and Basil should just have heaps of upside. Humidor was finishing strongly. And for fourth, number 8, Night's Watch, who I've been with through the whole prep. And I just think he's ticking over beautifully for the Caulfield Cup. Just a nice little fourth or fifth will have him spot on.
Ignoring the 3 internationals, Joe.
I am. Ben Battle's going to the Cox Plate and there's big raps on him. Cliffs of Moher, I'm not entirely sure. And Blair House, definitely, he's probably my next in because I thought his Underwood run was good. But, yeah, as I said, it just wouldn't surprise me, any of these.
Very similar numbers for me. 12, Unforgotten to beat 2, Humidor. Found a spot for Ben Battle, third, number 1. And Toes and Basil for fourth, number 3, 12-2-1-3. The big one, although probably not the most interesting betting race of the day, was race 9, and that's the Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas, worth $2 million for 3-year-olds at 1600 metres set weights. And unusually, given that they run the 1000 guineas today on Saturday on the same day these days, we do have a filly, and the filly is considered one of the dangers to the hot pot, the Autumn Sun.
Yes, in Uhud, and she, you know, she's got to be respected. She's in my numbers. As I said, this race sort of doesn't interest me as much as the 1000 guineas because I just think it's the Autumn Sun. He wins, and you know, I'm not sort of really overly excited about the placings. But I've ended up, as I said, number 1 on top, the Autumn Sun. If he handles Caulfield, he wins. 4, Leonardo da Vinci in for second. Look, he should have won by further in the Stutt Stakes. He only got clear late, and he was dominant in the last 100 metres once he was clear. 15, Uhud, certainly respecting her. She just might be peaking at the right time after taking a few runs this prep. And 2, Native Soldier, has to run 1600, but you know he's going to go forward and be giving a strong kick. He just seems to love Caulfield.
And again, same 4 for me, and I have got the Autumn Sun on top, although I agonised about this, and this is another of those races where I'm keen to play Quinellas and Roving Trifectas, the Autumn Sun, and 15, Uhud. I thought long and hard about putting Uhud on top, but I just thought one win from 10 starts versus the Autumn Sun. I'll just have to go with the Autumn Sun rather than look foolish when the Autumn Sun absolutely brains them. So 1.15 for third Leonardo da Vinci, and for fourth two Native Soldier, 1.15.42. Last race of the day, and another one where I like a quinella, is race 10, Ladbrokes Herbert Power Stakes, 2400 metre handicap at Group 2 level.
And we've got four of these imports having their first start in Australia, numbers 2, 3, 4 and 7. I have included the 2, a Prince of Arran. He's better over further, but a strong pace would suit. However, I'm with number 9, Rising Red. Scratched from last week's Bart Cummings. I think Connections thought they couldn't beat Avilius, and they probably would have found it hard considering he won the race. Rising Red's two runs this time in have been excellent. He does get to 2400 quite quickly, but I don't think that'll be a problem. He'll press forward, and if he can get any sort of economical run on the speed, he'll be very hard to run past. One big Duke in for second, forget the Metrop, got back, held up, slow speed. His previous run was good. 5 in for third, Gallic Chieftain. I think it's ticking over well and probably over the odds. And 2, a Prince of Arran in for fourth.
Well, Rising Red for me, 2, number 9. And the one that I want to couple that up with is number 8, Brimham Rocks. The international I put in was number 4, Prize Money. And for fourth, I've got last year's winner. Once again, from your story, Joel. Number 6, Lord Fandango. Probably a bit behind the 8 ball, though. After the strangles problem.
Yeah, that's the query, isn't it?
Second up.
Yeah. Archie did say he was going to be hitting this race fourth up without setback, and he's now second up. He's just not sure how much that Benalla Cup fresh run took out of him, but certainly good enough.
Okay, 9.846 for me. My best, race 5, number 2, Voodoo Lad. My value bet, race 7, number 10, Noir.
You know, I agonised over my best. I ended up making it my Rising Red in the last. Race 10, number 9. More of an each-way bet, though, I guess, at $7 or $8. And Dawn Dawn is my value in race 4.
Okay, plenty to chew over at Randwick. As we mentioned, track expected to be heavy. We will take you through the black type, plus the there's really three races that aren't technically black type, but are very interesting and lucrative races. So we'll start in race 3, which is black type. That's the Daily Telegraph Reginald Allen Quality. 1,400 for three-year-old fillies at listed level.
6 Unguarded for me. It showed nice ability. Broke through for the maiden win last start. Had every chance to win that maiden the way the race was run, but I just think she might go on with it now. 2 Madame Rouge in for second from 1 Cristobal, and 5 Bubbles and Troubles.
Skip to race 5, and this is the new race on the card. And what an interesting race it has turned out to be. It's not quite as open as the TAB Everest with $7 the field there, but we've assembled 12 and look at 12 runners and 4 emergencies, and there'll look to be really only 3 that are given no chance. And the race I refer to, of course, is the Kosciuszko. It's 1,200 metres, run under special conditions and worth $1.3 million for country horses only.
I've gone with the same quinella from the country championship earlier in the year, just the other way around. 6 Don't Give a Damn to turn the tables on 5 Victorum. Danny Williams was pretty bullish when speaking to him earlier in the week. Don't Give a Damn does get 2 kilo weight advantage. He pulled up with a few issues after that country championship. He had a wide run too on the speed. He was very game up the straight. Victorum was brilliant in the final furlong of that race. He's a real talent. He's trialled up super. He's the key danger. 1 in for third, the Monster. We've just seen him be competitive in stronger company for the last 2 or 3 seasons, haven't we? And he can get through the ground. And 4 in for fourth, Bellfly, maybe the roughie to include in your multiples.
Race 6 at Randwick on Saturday is the Camera House Sydney Stakes. 1,200 metre weight for age. Group 3, but worth $500,000. And this is the Everest Consolation.
3 Jungle Edge for me just gets his conditions likely. The heavier the better for him. He's been going okay too. A couple of 1400 metre runs, which, you know, probably just a bit far for him on good tracks, and then the Moya back to the 1000 and didn't have all favours there in the run. Just a perfect scenario for him. He's on top for me from 1 Clearly Innocent, who was very unlucky first up last prep. Next 2 runs were at Group 1 level. He was in the Everest this day last year. 5 in for third, Pirata. Trying to bounce back, 1600 to 1200. from the Epsom. So it's a bit of a task, but he is a talent. And in for fourth, number nine, Tactical Advantage, who's going great guns this time in.
The big one is race seven, the TAB Everest, 1,200 metres, weight for age. It is worth a gobsmacking $13.5 million. Not exactly, because a fair chunk of that is put in by slot holders who will presumably take a fair chunk out as opposed to the connections of the horses, although they may be the same. They may be one and the same in some cases. And speaking of connections who have their own horse in there, Godolphin, they have, they've taken out Home of the Brave. They have Osborne Bulls there. Do you think any connections, if it's just absolutely pouring on Friday night and a Saturday morning, might just come out and do a deal with Jungle Edge?
Yeah, and Mick Bell. Oh well, you know, it's, I guess it's open the scenario. I'm not sure when those slots cut off. I assume it's just scratching time, I guess, on Saturday. And yeah, you'd be mad not to even think of that situation if it comes up every 9, every 10, because you'll give them one hell of a fright, I would have thought. But if he's not there, number 9 In Her Time is my pick. She's one of my old favourites. She doesn't often let us down. She was perhaps a bit stiff not to get a slot last year. She won the Sydney Stakes on the same day, ran a quicker time, quicker last 600. Then Red Zell on the day. She's come back. She's Group 1 winner now. Her first up run in the Premier was excellent. Just the real heavy stuff is a bit of the unknown because we haven't seen her on it, but I think she'll run well. 10 in for second, Shoals. Just looks to have come back in super order. She can go well in the wet too. 6 in for third, Brave Smash. I think she's had a really nice prep. Trip up to Sydney, back to Melbourne for 1,000 metres. I think 1,200 on soft grounds, ideal for him with the blinkers on. And in for fourth, number 1, Red Zell. Not dropping off him. He had that setback into the Premier, missed a run. I think that was just the run that he needed to have to bring him on for this, and he can get through the ground too.
Yes, so that was the first leg of the quaddie, by the way, and I should have added that New South Wales TAB punters, there is a $500,000 jackpot going into this, so that's a decent chunk on an expected pool of $3 million for the first four. So that might be worth a throw at the stumps. And in fact, you may as well have a throw at the stumps at the $10 million for picking the first 10 in order, which, if you know anything about maths, you have got no hope of doing. But have a go. Why not? What did I tell you about the straight six last week?
Oh, I didn't investigate. Yeah,
easy. It paid over. Easy and paid overs.
And did you snare?
Yes, I did. I sort of, you know, I didn't make out like a bandit, but I more than doubled my money. So,
oh, that's all right. You know, I did completely forget about that. But, yeah, I'm just trying to think of the results. I guess, well, I know the quaddie was short, so you threw in Winks and what was the other leg?
It was very gettable, the first leg.
Yeah.
The race before
Winks.
Yeah,
I knew the quaddie was short. Oh, well, it was one to get on.
Yeah. Just absolute walk in the park. Race 8 at Randwick on Saturday, second leg of the quaddie, 360 DMG, Craven Plate, 2,000, weight for age, worth $500,000, Group 3.
I've gone with 12, Egg Tart. Her first two runs were excellent. Her Hill Stakes run was good. She was beaten favourite, but I thought she was still quite solid. Now, she's had the run at 2,000. She's 3 from 3 on heavy, importantly. She just gets her chance to win here. 11, Dixie Blossoms. Just racing like the extra distance might suit her this time in. Christian Reith certainly advised as much when he came back to scale after the angst run last week. 3, it somewhat did improve nicely into the Hill Stakes. And 1, Who Shot the Barman, made an early move in that Hill Stakes. He'll be fitter for that. He can improve into the minors.
And we'll finish with race 9 because it's not a black type, but it should be. It is the Bisley Workwear St. Ledger Stakes, and it is worth $500,000. And it's 2,600 metres, also weight for age.
Yep, gone with 5, 1 Foot in Heaven, who's just been steadily progressing this time in, this import. The jockeys have been coming back to scale saying he needs a wet track. Well, he's going to get that on Saturday. The blinkers have gone on recently, and he's been improving with them too. So I've gone with him. Don't like jumping off last start winners for us. Number 1, Patrick Erin, but I just thought he, you know, he got given a lovely ride in the Metrop and he won well. You know, he jumps from 51 to 59.5. So it's a big jump up for him, but he can still go on with it. I guess he's won 11 from 27. Ouvray and Libran. who do get the turnaround in the weights. They're next in for me.
All right, well, your value bet, Joel, was race 7, number 9 in her time, but one of the few races we didn't cover is where your best comes up, and that's race 4, number 14, Fierce Impact, which, of course, you have also discussed related to Melbourne, and I think, is, as you mentioned, is likely to come to Melbourne. So if that does happen, where would you go for your best?
Look, I'd probably just revert to In Her Time as my best, and value maybe in the last. Noble Joey's come up $17. He's been going all right, looking for these sorts of conditions, which he gets. He'll go forward and give them a bit to catch, I would have thought, at $17. So, yeah, he's one to have a look at.
All right, they're back on the main track at Morfordville on Saturday, and the owners and trainers have certainly come to the party. Morfordville or Adelaide has gone from hugely up in numbers, which was a lot of fun for us trying to fit in this week. And there are two black type races. Race 4, the Romeo's Hill Smith Stakes, listed event over 1800. Paul Richards likes number 1, Approach Discreet, and why not for Darren Weir and Harry Coffey, and in fact very, very short, $1.50. Other one is race 7, the Community Co Durbridge Stakes, 1200 metres, and here Richo likes that horse that we mentioned earlier of Archie Alexander's Petrel, who has, however, as you mentioned, drawn the outside barrier, also drawn wide in Melbourne, mind you, and needs a couple of scratchings to get a run. But that is Richo's tip for the Durbridge's Petrel. James Jordan's Gems, race 2, number 9, Sweet Mischief, race 3, number 3, Rua Maza, and race 6, number 11, Debt Collector. Joel, did you like anything?
Just split lip in that race 6. She ran better than the Duck Egg suggests first up at Caulfield. As mentioned, she's also in that race 4 at Caulfield. But I think wherever she goes, she'll be pretty competitive. And this race, obviously, a little bit easier.
All right. Well, fingers and toes crossed in Queensland for and down here in Melbourne, because we don't like washouts, because it tends to make the following week's fields very huge. We don't want any washouts. But Doomben, yeah, threat of weather. Have you found some mudlarks for us?
Well, let's hope so. Race 3, number 6, Old Habits, my best. He's won on the heavy. He's on a quick backup from last week. He stayed at 1350 and just didn't have the sprint to catch the two favourites who were out in front and dominating. He held his ground well enough, though, up to the mile suits. He gets his chance, and my value is Sweet Adeline. Race 7, number 12. Three goes on a heavy, never missed a place. Just always runs well when she gets up to this mile distance range. She got up to the mile third up and improved at 50-1. No such price this week, but still double figures about, and she's a good each way play.
Bunbury, unusually, is the venue for Perth racing this Saturday. It is the in-between weekend. Workers are busily spending Saturday moving those tables and chairs across the road. Well, actually, now that I've been there, it's slightly more than across the road, but it's a decent hike, so no wonder they do need a week to get it going from Belmont to Ascot. But Bunbury is the venue, and BJ Ryan's best, race 6, number 10, Stageman, who is first up from the Peters Investments team, and his value bet, race 8, number 11, Distant Trilogy, who is around about $6. There is a favourite there is number 5, Regal Moon, but BJ, race 8, number 11, Distant Trilogy. The main race there is the three-year-old race, the Tab Touch Classic, race 5, which sees most of WA's best two-year-olds from last season stepping out, and BJ is leading to one that is undefeated from two starts, and that's number 3, Black Sabbath. Earlier in the day, we're racing at Hara and Matamata, Joel.
Yeah, Hara, my best bet is race 5, number 3, Cyclops. Caught the eye running on first up, came wide and sustained a long run, just missed Bob of the Head. He'll be fitter for that. My value is Yearn. Race 8, number 9, up to black tight company, wait for Age Mare's race, but she was really good first up, and she's built a really consistent record. I think she can measure up to this level with a bit of luck. Matamata, my best is Rip 'Em Up, race 4, number 11. We made this a value bet a couple of weeks ago on debut, ran second, ran a really good race. Again, contests a three-year-old handicap, so is eligible for a maiden, but running against winners, but that was a really encouraging debut. I think she's pretty smart. And my value bet is Karaka Nui, race 9, number 15. Encouraging return, up to 2,000 metres suits, and worth a look each way from a good draw.
All right, that wraps up a huge Saturday of racing around Australasia. That's not all we've got in this week's winning post. Be at your newsagent bright and early Friday morning to pick it up, because we've got all the form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Friday, of course, you've got your Hotham going on at Sportsbet Ballarat. You've got your Jungle Juice Cup at Cessnock. Full form for both those meetings, and then we take you into the night where they're racing at Cranbourne. They got the Corinthian for the picnic horses, and the main race, of course, is the Pinker Pinker Plate for the middle distance mares. And Pretty Punk number two is whose selection would that be? Tony Rickards. Did you have a look at Cranbourne Friday night at all, John?
No, I didn't do Cranbourne this week, but Tony Kneebone's, Tony Rickards' tips will be in there. I do like one in the first. Hasbro?
Yeah.
Yeah, Finger McKees from New Zealand. Unlucky first up, should be atoning for that.
And, of course, that kicks on into Sunday. Plenty of big meetings on Sunday as well. We've got four of them covered. Including the main one, of course, the Cranbourne Cup, and the WIF. We're not unanimous. There is a hot favourite there, and that's Furion, number four, unbeaten, of course, this time in for Darren Weir. But a couple of our panel, I think, are leaning towards the Bussin and Young trained Sully. Joel?
Yeah, I went for Sully. Just had to make the black book off his second up run. Without room for most of the straight, making ground under his own steam. He's got to turn the tables on Furion, and Cranbourne might not ideally suit, but at the odds, you're going to get far better value for Sully to bet each way. I think Furion's going to come up pretty short.
Okay, that leads us only to give you our best $20 bet of the weekend, and what are you going for?
Well, first? Yeah, I couldn't find anything to really bank on, so I'm going to get a bit exotic. Maybe $20 all up. Place Fiesta, win the Autumn Sun.
All right, well, since you have left Rising Red alone, I will take that. Race 10, number 9, Rising Red. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's a huge one. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.